Your morning starts now. It's the Q102 Jeff and Jen podcast, brought to you by CVG Airport. Fly healthy through CVG. For more information, go to CVG Airport /fly healthy.
George Clooney.
Yeah. George doesn't jump into the fray very often with Hollywood happenings, really.
No, not Hollywood happenings. He, you know, takes on causes that are important to him.
Mm-hmm.
Usually stays out of the Hollywood business.
Mm-hmm. But he has a lot to say about what happened on the set of Rust, where that producer died. The producers, he is blaming the producers of Rust that made a lot of stupid mistakes, he said, that led to the death of the cinematographer.
I've been on sets for 40 years, and the person that hands you the gun, the person that is responsible for the gun, is either the prop person or the armor, period. Every single time I'm handed a gun on a set, every time, they hand me a gun, I look at it, I open it, I show it to the person I'm pointing it to, we show it to the crew, every single take, you hand it back to the armor when you're done, you do it again. And why, for the life of me, this low-budget film with producers who haven't produced anything wouldn't have hired for the armor someone with experience with that many guns. And maybe they weren't even using that gun to do target practice, but they had live ammo with dummies in her pack. And that is insane. It's insane. Yeah. It's infuriating.
That's George on the WTF podcast. And you'll notice he didn't mention Alec Baldwin by name, but Baldwin was one of the producers.
Mm-hmm. He was also very confused as to why the assistant director was the one who handed Alec the gun.
Yeah.
So he said every single time he's handed that gun, he opens it, shows it to the crew, and then every single take, hands it back to the armorer. So that kind of, you know, is not naming Alec either in that instance, but Alec was the one that fired the shot.
Yep. Well, in other E! News this morning, Pee Wee Herman gets to host his own radio show. It will air on an actual radio station. This is not a podcast. This is a radio station.
Real deal
just
gig.
Like ours.
Dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yep. It's a Santa Monica, California-based radio station, KCRW. The show will start on November 26th. Pee Wee announced yesterday, I'm going to be a DJ on a new radio show airing on KCRW. I'm so excited. It's my very first one. I mailed them a letter, which got lost, apparently. And so then I tagged them on Twitter. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe that it was me until my most amazing fans called and jammed up their phone lines. Tune in to hear me play some great music and bring surprises.
Pee Wee.
And it sounds like he's hosting as the Pee Wee character because he's bringing Magic Screen, Miss Yvonne with him, and some other characters.
Oh,
he's
nice.
Also promising some super famous surprise guests. While this is a one-show deal.
Aw, it is. Just a one-show.
Well, maybe it'll turn into something regular and syndicated so we
it's
can
kind of like
enjoy.
An audition, maybe.
What's the word of the day?
Ooh.
You know what to do when you hear the word of the day, right?
Oh, what do we do?
Scream real loud!
I love Pee Wee.
It was a fun, creative show.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to take a break. Coming up, John Mayer taking on a Swiftie who wished him dead.
Well, get this. A new poll found that due to rising costs, nearly half of Americans will soon cancel at least one of their streaming subscriptions. You know, as soon as you cancel Netflix, you're going to hear your neighbor scream through the wall, "What the hell?" You go, "I was almost done with Squid Game." Sorry.
It's still not entirely clear why it is so difficult to find workers right now, especially in the food service industry. It seems like every restaurant is having trouble finding staff. I drove by a Five Guys today. It was only a Four Guy.
Some business news. I heard that Costco just warned its customers of a potential data breach after they found a credit card skimmer in one of their stores. Or as the thief put it, "I just bought some identities in bulk."
Shout out to Mama and Papa Fritch. They surprised us this morning with a Thanksgiving feast.
I mean,
early
everything.
Thanksgiving feast.
It's all there, plus some.
and birthday cakes for both me and Tim.
This has become a tradition they do every year. They surprise us, and all of a sudden the door opens, and they walk in with the coolers.
Yes.
Well, it was like, funny. Wow. The thermal packs.
It was funny. My mom said that it's been 4 years that they've been doing the instant Thanksgiving. Wow. And it all started because we had a conversation about dressing. Do you guys remember this conversation?
Yes.
Kind of.
Yeah, we had a conversation, and I was like, I'm kind of a snob. My dad makes the best.
It is very good.
And mm-hmm. everyone was like, we have to try it. I don't believe you, blah, 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 or whatever. And then my mom was like, maybe my dad and I could bring Thanksgiving. And I'm like, okay.
So what time did they get up then this morning?
My dad started a lot of this last night because my mom texted me and said that the house was smelling really great. So he probably got up today about 4.
About four, wow.
Yeah. And
they're amazing.
Who gets up at that ungodly
hour? Well, you know,
hour?
He was probably awake anyway.
Is he an early riser? Is he one of those?
He's very much like me. Like, he has trouble sleeping all the time. But I'm so glad he does, because it tastes delicious.
Well, it's much appreciated, so and Tim and I are both celebrating birthdays this week, and she was kind enough to make a cake for each of us.
I know.
Well, everybody gets their own.
So that was above and
beyond. Supposed to be nice today. Very sweet. Sun shining in the 50s. Going to definitely go for a 3 or 4 mile walk later.
Yeah.
I said we're all going to carb up and they'd be like stoned around, I don't know, 7:30.
Going to crash. Yeah.
But that's when we'll eat the cake.
I've killed a whole plate already. I'm ready to go back.
It's so good. Yeah, thank you, Mom great. And Dad.
Yeah,
you're the best.
Thanks.
Yes, thank you so much.
Appreciation. All right. Well, in other E! News this morning, Taylor Swift. We're talking about, we're going to get to this John Mayer story here in a minute, but I did want to mention that with Taylor Swift working on SNL this past weekend, that's like, you know, you're going to Pete Davidson's work. That's where Pete Davidson works. And not only did she perform her own song, but she also appeared with Pete Davidson in a pre-recorded sketch where they sang a song called Three Sad Virgins, which was very funny,
it
by
was,
the way.
Yeah.
You should look it up online if you don't have a DVR or you didn't see it. But anyway, I mention this because Pete has been seeing Kim Kardashian. And last we heard, Kim and Taylor were like mortal enemies.
Yeah, because remember Kanye West was throwing all that shade towards Taylor
right. And
released that audio recording of her saying that it was okay.
But sources say that Pete was a total pro. He is clearly aware of the history that Taylor has with Kim and Kanye, and he was not going to make it a thing. He wasn't going to treat her any differently. To cause any drama is the last thing that Pete wants to do, and that's why it was important to make friends with Taylor and do a skit with her. So
yeah. He
was nothing but a gentleman.
That's cool, and a professional.
Yeah.
So, okay, here we go. Taylor Swift's Jake Gyllenhaal breakup song, All Too Well, re-released. And so we're getting reminders of just how mean some of the Swifties can be. They are getting a head start on attacking John Mayer. He was the subject of Taylor's breakup song, Dear John. It's on her album, Speak Now, which has not even been re-recorded yet. But there's one young woman who hit John's DMs and said, quote, F yourself, you ugly B-word. I hope you choke on something. And then she added, answer me, you B-word.
Whoa.
She's calling him that?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, John did answer. He said, I've been getting so many messages like these the past couple days. I'm not upset. I just tend to have a curious mind and feel compelled to ask, do you really hope that I die? And she was kind of stunned by the response. She made a video saying, quote, my friend literally dared me to do that. She's a Taylor fan, and like, so am I. It was a dare. I'm sorry. I did not expect you to see.
Well, that's a weird dare.
Yeah.
And that's a weird expectation. When you send someone a message, it goes to them.
Right. So John actually told her it was cool, but he said, quote, so it's a fun thing people are doing without taking into account that I might see it and be affected by it. The woman then told John, quote, people are going to be 1,000 times meaner when the album is re-released, so take care of yourself.
Wow. Yeah, okay. Wow.
That's mean.
It is. You know, it is kind of, because Taylor Swift kind of has this image of being this really sweet person, this nice person who does really nice things for people, and yet her fans
are mean.
Can be really, really mean and nasty.
Yeah, and, you know, I'd be like, listen, I made my point in the song. I got it off my chest.
That's how I express my emotions.
Thank you.
Through music.
It's a form of inspiration. This is how I express myself. This is my art.
It's a story.
Okay, but if you're going to represent me, can we not cross the line?
Yeah, maybe she needs to say, guys, you don't need to be mad for me.
You don't
need to be mad at these people and be hateful toward these people because of what they did to me. I'm okay.
But do you feel like because all of her songs are just consistently throwing shade at past relationships, do you feel like she's really that nice of a person on the inside?
Well, she's not saying die, bitch, in her songs, is she?
But she is throwing a lot of shade. I mean, that 10-minute Jake Gyllenhaal
calls them out.
Right, she's calling them out.
Pretty rough.
But I think there's a difference between calling someone out, holding them accountable for their actions, and hoping that they die.
Don't you remember when she sang sweet songs like about Tim McGraw and Romeo saving her?
Oh, I love the innocence of that, too.
Yeah, 22. Remember that song?
And then life happened.
And then she got burned.
Sure. Right. And it happens to all of us. And we learn to cope.
I listened.
It was a great outlet for her.
I listened to almost all of the album yesterday. Yeah. And most of the like vault tracks, which I think there were 14 of them or something like that, they're all pretty slow and kind of like very nice.
So this is my question. So the remakes that she's doing, do they sound exactly the same?
I mean,
or do they sound slightly different? Or
a little different. Like sometimes she'll like change the way she kind of said something. But I will tell you the neat thing about the fact that she redid these is that all of the streaming services, like I listen to Apple Music, has Taylor's version. Like it says Red Taylor's version.
Yeah.
So if you say like, you know, play Taylor Swift, it comes up her version, the re-recorded version versus the old one that Scooter would get the credit for.
If you put the old one side by side with the new one, would you be able to tell the difference?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, the new ones are actually, I heard one a couple weeks ago, and it sounded way better.
Normally,
when they remake songs you're already familiar with, it's kind of, it just sounds
And then they
not,
mess with yeah. it. You're like,
it doesn't yeah. sound right.
Well, and I think your ear as a processor, like you listen to the processing, you as an audio DJ person would definitely be able to tell the difference.
Yeah. I just think they sound better. They're mixed different. Normally when you hear a remake, you're like, it doesn't sound as good. But these are the opposite. They really do.
Remastered.
They sound good.
Right. Yeah. Okay. In other E! News this morning, if you were a parent or a kid in the 1990s, you certainly could not escape Barney and Friends. And now there's a docuseries in the works about Barney and how he became so beloved and so hated. It's going to come out next year on Peacock.
I was
three episodes.
So grateful when Jacob never liked Barney.
Oh. Yeah.
That would have been one I would have really struggled with having to watch over and over. Thankfully, he was a Sesame Street kid, and I love Sesame Street, so I still would watch Sesame Street.
All of the songs I'm now singing on Cocomelon, so I have a nice precursor to being a parent.
Which stars used to be on
Selena
that?
Gomez.
Selena Gomez, yeah.
She was on there.
There were a couple other ones, I think.
Yeah, up-and-coming people. Mm-hmm.
While an official title hasn't been announced, the series promises to, quote, examine the rock star-like trajectory of Barney the Dinosaur, who captured the hearts of millions of children, then became the target of hate and rage across pop culture, the early internet, and playgrounds around the world.
Yeah, that wasn't fair.
It'll include exclusive interviews and archive footage from the cast and crew and even critics.
We had the doll. Do you guys remember the doll? You would touch the doll, and it was very much like a Tickle Me Elmo, and it would just laugh. Oh, that thing haunted me.
It was a bit much.
Yeah.
So the show is no longer in production?
No. I'm
it hasn't
sure you
been
could
for a long
find
time.
It on YouTube or something.
Yeah.
It's not like the old days when Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers would just run forever.
Forever and ever and ever.
And sort of evolved.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Well, Kristen Stewart jumping on the paranormal gravy train. She's got herself a ghost hunting reality series that she's doing with a friend. She did an interview with The New Yorker. She said the series will be, quote, a paranormal romp in a queer space.
Mm.
Still in the developmental stages, but Kristen already has a few ideas on her laptop to pitch. She said, gay people love pretty things, so we are aiming for a richness.
Okay. I don't know if you know if you saw this or not, but speaking of the paranormal, the original Ghostbusters were on the Tonight Show last night.
That's fun.
Yep. Here's Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray explaining why they decided to do another Ghostbusters movie.
I know people have been trying to get you guys together to reunite for a long time. Why now?
Jason Reitman wrote a great script, so full of heart, and going right back to the first two movies and its DNA and its heart and soul. And we just read it and thought, you know, this is the right time, and this is the right way to do it.
Jason is the son of the original director, Ivan Reitman, and Jason's made some great movies on his own, and he had his own take on, because he grew up as a child of the Ghostbusters, sort of, in a way. He had something he thought would work as a good story, and we all agreed that he got it.
Yeah, I remember when Ghostbusters first came out.
It was great.
Like, this is the greatest movie ever.
That was I love Bill Murray so much.
That Ghostbusters, mm-hmm. Back to the Future were two of my favorites. Top Gun, I'm thinking of all the favorite movies of my childhood that had a huge impact. I'm like, wow, that was great.
Yeah.
And original and fun.
And funny.
And so many good lines, too, just to recite.
I know. Well, there was so much quick wit.
Yeah.
You know?
He slimed me.
Thanks for listening to the Q102 Jeff and Jen Morning Show Podcast, brought to you by CVG Airport. Fly healthy through CVG. For more information, go to CVG Airport / fly healthy.